Legal analyst from TSN, Eric Macromella, joins us now. Macromella, how are you?
You know, I'm doing good. The family is away in the Maritimes, and so it's just me living the bachelor life. Came home. I thought I'd be home early, but I just made it home, but have a micro beer and then a block of cheese because it's the summer of Eric, so it's great.
Nice. And well, and the fact that you were quite happy that Drake was singing about you last night. What did you think of the ESPYs and like when he started singing the Side Pieces song, I was in tears because I was like, you know how many couples are in the audience right now being like, oh my God, this is totally, you know, one of them was somehow involved knowing it. I was crying. It was so funny.
I thought it was great because it was so perfectly uncomfortable. It was just uncomfortable enough that it was funny. You know, it wasn't like Ricky Gervais in the Golden Globes, where everyone was so offended, but that was really funny to us. But for those in the audience, like, looking around, it was like, hey, look, half of you guys at least are stepping out, all right? I like the ESPYs. You know, I think Drake did a great job. I think he's really talented. I think his future is filled with all kinds of possibilities outside of music. And I think you have no choice but to have a strong host that takes up a lot of time because I want to see more of the athletes. Whenever you see more of the athletes, it's sometimes not fun. Like, case in point, when the NHL did the All-Star Fantasy Draft, and had the players as a centerpiece, and that was televised. And Larionov's daughter was the host. That was the definition of discomfort at home. I don't know how you reacted to it, but I was like, great idea in theory. It just didn't work out. So anyway.
Yeah, it was not good at all. No, I would agree with you. But I you know what? I like the ESPYs a lot. I will say, like, the montages and the videos they do are better than the Grammys. Like, the stories that they were telling, when they go to the videos on it, like the one on Michael Sams, I was like, holy cow, like, that was good.
Yeah, I think all that stuff was great. I mean, as sports fans, this is still a million times better than the Oscars or, you know, the Emmys, the Globe and Globes, because this is what we do and eat every day. And it's just great to see. I mean, you know, if I were to get a media pass for any event, it would be the ESPYs. It wouldn't be in any of the other events. But the question I have for you is this, and something I don't understand. I get it, but, you know, in sports, you know, the person that works the sideline, if someone like Aaron Andrews or whatever, or you had Larionov's, you know, daughter working the sidelines for that All-Star thing, why are networks so focused on having, you know, a good-looking girl? I don't, like, do you think it matters that you have a good-looking girl on the sideline? I don't.
Yeah, me neither. Honestly, I want someone who asks good questions. I really could care less what they look like.
And the crazy thing is, these women that go on the sidelines, you know, they probably tell you that, you know, they're all about, you know, in part feminism and stuff. But this is actually kind of a step backwards because, you know, they think they're an exception when in fact they're not an exception, that they are being put there strictly because of how they look. Anyway, we have digressed already, but everything makes me angry today.
Nice. Angry. I was reading in the Arlen Bruce, you know, he filed a lawsuit today against the CFL, all the teams, for saying a game where, you know, he was allowed to go back and play when he was concussed. Now, I know TSN actually dug up some footage from that game where the sideline reporter was saying that he wanted to go back in, but the team wouldn't let him go back in. And then, you know, later on he had stated how, you know what, hey, it's a knee, it's an elbow, it's your head, it's all the same. You play from it. I guess the concern now is when a player's concussed, Eric, and a lot of the special, you know, specialists will say that sometimes it takes up to 48 hours. You really don't know, even if you do the test right there. If a player gets hit in the head, do you think it comes to a point now where teams are just going to say you can't go back in because every player's competitive drive will want them to go back in?
I think that's perfectly put. You know, when you do suffer concussion, it can manifest. There's a latency period at times, and it can take a while for it to manifest itself. And in the interim, in the intervening period, you have a player that says, I want to go back in, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. You know, for me, case in point is Dale Weiss during the playoffs when he got hit by Moore, and clearly his bell was rung, and clearly he had a concussion. But he was let back on the ice, and while he may be past the baseline test, isn't that a circumstance where you say, look, the actual collision, the optics of what happened are such that we're going to pull you out? And so, Jason, to answer your question, I'm sort of on board with that, that if the impact, if the event is so clear to suggest that head trauma or brain trauma, more precisely, was a likely outcome, then be cautious, because if you're not cautious, you could face a lawsuit down the line. Now, look, maybe Bruce isn't the best guy, you know, to have filed this lawsuit. There are lots of questions about his credibility, but I think you're right. It raises the bigger issue, and the bigger issue is the protocols that leagues have in place. Is it sufficient? And it just, in my opinion, what I saw in the NHL playoffs, I would say, and what I'm seeing now, I would say they need to tweak it a bit.
In Bruce's case, and I'm sure you've read over it, you know, the NFL, when they filed, they did it collectively as a group first, and then they left it open. Individuals could do it on their own. Bruce going by himself, does this strengthen his case or weaken it, in your opinion?
I've been asked that question a couple times today, and I'll just say this, that it's not really relevant.
Okay.
That it's not a class action suit. Certainly there is strength in numbers. There's no doubt about that, that 4,500 litigants in the NFL concussion lawsuits across 222-plus lawsuits, that gets their attention. But as far as determining the merits of this case, whether he is going to be successful or not, it doesn't matter how many people sue, so long as the one person suing, you know, from an evidentiary standpoint, you know, has a decent case. So, yeah, there's strength in numbers, Jason, but it doesn't hurt your case or hurt it if you're alone.
Okay. I'm moving from one football case here to the south of the border. Of course, everybody knows the Hernandez case that's going on. You know, they were showing, I think it was years of text messages between Belichick and him. And then also now his girlfriend being accused of lying to the grand jury. How does it impact him, and then how does it impact her?
Yeah, I forget. Her name is like Shanene or Shayanana or Shalalala. We'll call her Shalala just for the sake of argument. You know, this is not a surprise, because you knew at the outset she was, you know, covering for Aaron Hernandez, because the evidence here, my God, yes, you don't have the smoking gun, literally, they can't find the gun, but this evidence is so strong against Aaron Hernandez. You know, circumstantial evidence gets a bad rap. Circumstantial evidence is evidence that you point to, you know, in the absence of an actual confession. But most criminal law cases, you get convictions on circumstantial evidence, because usually the defendant pleads not guilty. And so in this case here, you know that they were working together, and it was a matter of time until they parsed out her testimony, because what they needed to do was they still want to get more evidence here. So they're applying pressure on her by charging her with perjury now. So they're adding that charge to that, hoping to get her to cooperate. That's what they did with Wallace and Ortiz as well, is first they were just charged with accessories, essentially, to murder. Accessory before the fact, accessory after the fact. But now they've been charged with actual murder. They've been charged with actual murder because in that state, if you help someone pull the trigger, it's like you pulled the trigger yourself. And that was done in respect to Wallace and Ortiz to apply pressure. Same thing with Shalalala. They're trying to apply pressure on her to get her to cough up Aaron Hernandez. The problem is that no one here, at least at this early stage, seems willing to talk. That's the first thing. The second thing is the sense I get, Jason, is it's kind of part of their culture. It's part of their own internal culture that you're not going to be a rat, you know? Now, Ortiz was a bit of a rat, but I think that the reflex here, Jason, at least, is not to give up Aaron Hernandez.
Okay. Eric Macromella, legal analyst on TSN, joins us. Eric, when you look at, you know, the Patriots' involvement in this, is there any way that this comes back to them? Like, we look at how the teams are responsible for not letting guys, you know, go back in. And supposedly, there, you know, the cops were talking to Bill Belichick in advance and then nothing was going on. Is there any way this comes back around to hurt that organization legally?
That's a great question. You know, from a legal standpoint, you know, the only lawsuit that you could, you know, launch that would be so completely tough to make out is, look, you know, they knew he was a danger, left him out there, and Odom Loya's family could go after them. But Odom Loya's family is going after Aaron Hernandez. They already filed a wrongful death civil suit that's suing for money. So I think from a legal standpoint, the Patriots are clear. I think the more pressing issue is in the court of public opinion. Are they going to be found to be somewhat complacent? Complicit? Are people going to think, look, you know, you guys should have done more? And I was seeing all this evidence come out. You know, why weren't you more proactive? But look, that's not their role. They're the employer. Probably did the best they could. I know Belichick reached out to them a number of times. You know, so, but again, you know what? That's my opinion because I'm a lawyer. But I do know that in the court of public opinion, sometimes people are not as likely to forgive.
And Eric, one quick one, going back to the Arlen Bruce case for the CFL, and you know, it was kind of only a matter of time in a sport as vicious and hard-hitting as football when we saw the cases in the NFL, and even though the CFL isn't the moneymaker, we have no idea what the numbers are that Bruce is looking for in this case. Is this the beginning? Do you think the CFL is now going to have a long list of players coming after them, or will they only have it if Bruce wins?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head here. You know, CFL doesn't have the $10 billion in revenue that the NFL has. But the thing is, you know, you can't predict what's going to happen. Logically, there might be more of these lawsuits because, look, Jason, football fits the profile of a concussion case because of repeated headshots. It's from hockey all the way down to soccer, by the way, because you have a case of CTE and suicide in soccer. So you could well see lawsuits in soccer as well. So as far as the CFL goes, can I say this will be the only one? No, I don't think it will be. But I think potential plaintiffs will recognize, Jason, that the CFL really has a finite amount of money and they have to be ready to invest a lot of time, effort, and emotion into something like this for it to be remotely successful. So I don't think we'll see a lot of it. We've only seen one, or we've seen two lawsuits in hockey in the NHL. We've seen one in the CFL. I don't anticipate hundreds. It's not going to mushroom, but maybe a sprinkle of a couple more, a few, maybe.
And one last one for you. If you could choose to be a side piece, who would you want to be for?
Who would I want to be? Well, it would have to be, obviously, for me at least, someone on the female side of sports. You know, so I'm just thinking, you know, Lilo Jones? Is that? I always forget how to pronounce her name. She seems like she's pretty cute. I can't, you know, be with Marianne Jones because she's been to prison, so that's not going to work. So, and, you know, maybe Eugenie Bouchard? I don't know.
Oh.
I really don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
How about you?
I thought I'd ask you.
It'd
be pretty easy for me, right? Now, because it does. Now, are we saying sports athletes? Does it have to be a sports athlete?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Well, okay, sports would be different. I hadn't really ever thought of a sport athlete, but.
Like, who are you thinking? Like.
I have a few crushes.
Like,
On more movie stars. Mary Hart, no. Like, yes. if Elaine Bennis was real, then sure.
Really?
Yeah, just her character and personality. But
her head is too big for her body. No, this is unacceptable.
No, and she's a bad dancer, but whatever. You know,
yeah, but so are you. So
yeah,
it's fine.
Exactly, but that's not what the side piece is about at that point. So
side piece is like, hey, how you doing? And I gotta go.
Yeah, if I had to pick you know what? After watching Maria Sharapova, are you kidding me? Whew. I did not know how short Mayweather was until he came on stage to present with her.
Yeah,
man, he looked like a hobbit.
He looked like Emmanuel Lewis or Gary Coleman. He looked tiny.
Yeah.
Like I was surprised he agreed to do that because Mayweather is all about Mayweather, and man, he looked like he was like Sharapova's adopted son or something bizarre.
Yeah. That was awesome. But, yeah, I would take her for sure. That'd be, you know, it's not going to happen. But if I had to pick one.
Outside the world, I think I would go with Shakira. I could be her side piece.
That's really? Fine. Oh.
Yeah, I think so. I'm a little Latin flavor. You know, I'm a little darker than you. So.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, you don't burn as easy. That's good.
No. So. Well, I don't burn at all. No. I was born burned. Please.
Matt Camilla, have yourself a good night.
All right, Matt. Take care.
I was born burnt.